All right, time to check in with a friend of the show for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, Charles Holman. He joins us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline to talk about several things. First off, Charles, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and my condolences to you and your family, man, on the loss of your family member here just recently. But I hope that things are going much better for you.
Same to you as well. Just wish it wasn't the snow out here.
Oh, you didn't ask for the snow?
No, I did not. I asked for 70 degrees and sunny, and I don't know how my order got lost.
Now you know you knew you weren't getting that. You knew you weren't getting that for Christmas. You knew you weren't getting that. Well, let's start with the big story of the night. We're 30 minutes away from tip off at Target Center. Carl Anthony Towns, he returns as a member of the New York Knicks after that trade that shipped him to New York and then shipped us back, Dante DiVincenzo, Julius Randle, and a pick. Your thoughts on Carl Anthony Towns as a basketball player? You covered him for many years. You saw him go from being that number one overall pick that's brought to Minnesota, that was the face of the franchise, somebody they invested in and surrounded with talent to try to get them into being a championship-contending type team. And you know, eventually, you know, leaving here and going on to New York. I've enjoyed Carl Anthony Towns just because I think he's a genuinely good guy. But what's been your take on him as a basketball player and as a person?
As a person, I go with person first. I think he's very committed to serving the community, and he's done that very much so, not only here in Minneapolis, but also in Minnesota, but also in his home area back east. He seemed to be very committed to doing things in the community and not for show purposes, but just to, you know, serve the community in whatever way could that need it. And I think that stepped up a lot, you know, in 2020 when everything happened here. As a basketball player, I think he matured a lot in the last couple of years. What I mean by that is he stopped relying so much on shooting the three and used his overall talents. And I think having Rudy Gobert helped a lot, but I also think having Anthony Edwards helped a lot more because Edwards took the pressure off him having to be the man every night because Edwards decided to be that player. And so, therefore, Towns going to be the – and not a Batman and Robin situation, but could just be a player without having to worry about carrying the team every night. So I've seen that maturity, especially last season. I thought he became a better defensive player than he's ever been, and Gobert helped a lot in that. And again, it's sad to see him get traded, and I'm hoping that the fans will treat him warmly when he's introduced tonight, and because he didn't ask for the trade. And so, therefore, he left here in good terms. And I think, you know, hey, he's a player on another team. And the only time you're going to see him play here will be tonight. So I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good time for him. I saw on some of the social media things, you know, that was him chatted before the game. And I'm pretty sure a lot of his other team, former team, have chatted with him as well. So it'll be a good, nice homecoming for him. And I think that it'll be a good game.
I think it's going to be a great game. And I also think that because a couple people asked me, you know, about like, you know, Kirk Cousins a few weeks ago, he got the boos and, you know, how we reacted to him returning with the Atlanta Falcons versus, you know, what's going to happen tonight with Carl Anthony Towns. I don't think that they're comparable at all. I think they're two totally different situations because, number one, we shipped out Carl Anthony Towns as opposed to Kirk Cousins leaving just walking out and leaving the Minnesota Vikings and signing with another team in free agency. And then secondly, like, there is more to it emotionally from sports fans here being in love with Carl Anthony Towns because we drafted that guy and developed that guy. And that guy was a big part, like you mentioned, big community guy. He was always willing to do so much. And then, you know, we're always going to have that emotional attachment with him because of the work that he did, the appreciation that he had for the people at the Mayo Clinic and all of the health community here after his mother passed away due to COVID. So I think it's drastically two drastically different situations between the reactions he's going to get. I think he's going to get a standing ovation, and I think that everybody's going to welcome him back with open arms.
Yeah. And back on that, Kirk Cousins was never really embraced by the local fans as much as Carl was. So that's another reason. I think so. Nobody, you know, Carl Cousins was always the person to pick on when the team didn't do well.
Yep.
And they didn't do that with Carl. You know, Carl was just part of a team that was growing and getting better every year. And then he was part of that, and ashamed that. Again, I was ashamed. I was not happy with the trade because I thought that the team was really coming together, and I think that this is going to be a year they could really make that next step. But, you know, that's a decision that wasn't made by me, so hopefully it'll work out in the long run.
Yeah. We're talking to Charles Holman from the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder here on The Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I do want to, you know, ask you about, and you did a phenomenal job paying homage to Al Frost Jr. For the listening audience out there that may not know Al Frost, but that maybe heard the name, give him a little bit of background, because he's definitely a legend here in the area in the sports world, just because of all the things that he did here locally and how he excelled as a young athlete in his younger years.
Well, definitely, he was a local star. He went to Minneapolis Central, which no longer exists. And he went on to play two sports at Hamlin and did well in both those sports. And a lot of people don't understand he did that with basically one eye,
mm-hmm.
because he had lost his vision earlier in his childhood. He set records that there's some records still exist in the MIAC record books that he set back in the 60s at a time where it was still. The integration still was slow and coming. He was one of the few black players at Hamlin. Then he went on to be successful as a teacher, as a coach, as an administrator, and as a good man. I got to know him after his playing career ended. I got to know him as an administrator, and he was always talkative. He could talk it to death, and he just
was a talker, man.
He was a talker, and but I did not know until after his passing, unfortunately, that he was a gardener and that he loved doing those type of things. And I wish I knew that, because my mother was a gardener and my uncle was a gardener. They loved doing that, and I'd have been loved to have pick his brain to see how he got involved like they did. We missed, you know, we lost two people in this community, and Al Frost and Brett Haskins, both of them will be definitely missed, but they're in better places. And it's hard to write those kind of stories, Henry, because, you know, you're thinking about them and you're talking to people and you're trying not to invade their space at this point. But I got some good comments from you. I got some good comments from his niece. And some people in Hamlin talked about it. Other people that knew him and saw him when he was a player and knew him through those years. I only got to know him as an administrator, and I would consider him a good friend as well. So it was definitely a shock when I learned that news. But I always say that he's in a better place.
Well,
same as Brett and other people who passed away recently.
Yeah, well, you know who knows for a fact that he was a good gardener? Me.
Who was that?
Me.
Oh.
living two doors down from Al Frost. Literally, I'm dead serious. I live two houses over from Al Frost in the same cul-de-sac. And so, yeah, I know that Al Frost was a really good gardener. And there'd be times I'd be pulling up and he out there, man, watering everything and doing. I mean, you talking about somebody that cared about their lawn, man, and their grass. Oh my goodness. Mr. Frost wouldn't let it go. And he was definitely a talker.
Like that.
He was definitely
my
a talker
uncle was
too.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And they my uncle and him would have got along beautifully, you know, because they loved taking care of the lawn, they loved taking care of their garden and stuff like that. And they could talk. They're from that same generation. So they could have talked forever. But yeah, we lost a good one.
Yeah.
But you know, unfortunately, and I've been told we're gonna see more funerals than weddings as we move on in our ages. So But definitely, my sympathy again to their family and those who knew him well and didn't know him well. But I hope that they will learn more about Al Frost. And he got honored when he was alive, so that's good. You know, being put on that Wall of Fame with Vern Mickelson and some other people, that's a unique place. to be put up on a wall, and so you can come and see his name every time you come into Hamlin's gym. So, but definitely we're going
to
miss him.
And I want to take a second too to also acknowledge and just give my condolences to Jim Chikunjanski, former Gopher. He lost his wife, Rebecca, recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He lost his wife, Rebecca, recently. And actually, to be honest with you, Charles, Rebecca Service and Al Frost Service are both going to be on the same day, and I'm going to try to attend both.
Oh, wow. And so I got to catch up with Jim. Jim was he was fun to cover when he was a player, and then I got to know him, over the years, and then we laughed a lot. I said, I didn't know he was that old to have kids, that was playing ball.
Yep.
Just a good man. And again.
We've had a lot of losses here lately, man.
Yeah. Oh, my pastor always says, he says this phrase, earth has no sour that heaven can't heal.
Yeah.
So I share that with the Chikunjanski's family and then to all families, who have lost on. At this time of year, it's always hard.
It's tough.
Can you think about, the people that you love, and at this time of year, that just comes down to you a little harder than sometimes other times of the year.
Yep. All right, getting you out on this, give me your thoughts just as we kind of close out the year on the men's Gopher basketball team and the women's basketball team. I feel like the women are in much better shape than the men, even though Mara Braun has been out with that injury. But what's your thought on both of those squads?
Unfortunately, you're right. The Gopher women had to deal with a major injury again. And they had another one, too. Taylor Woodson got hurt, and she's out for the year. They're in a little better shape than the men, only because they didn't have the kind of losses, changes that the men had. But, again, I don't know how they're doing. They're going to struggle in the Big Ten, I think, because it's not as quick as other Big Ten schools are. For the men's side, it's going to be a struggle. They'll be better with Mike Mitchell back. But again, there's something wrong right now, and I think it's just too many changes again that Ben Johnson has to deal with, and trying to get them all together. Patterson is still trying to learn his role. You still got people coming back from injuries, and Garcia is a marked man. So unless you open up the game for him, he's going to be doubled every time out, and the guard's going to have to pick it up and hit some shots that make it honest. So, unfortunately, both teams could be better this year, but would it be markedly better that people will enjoy and keep coming out? It's sad that both teams don't draw a lot of people to the barn because they're still skeptical about the two teams. But fun to be there, fun to watch. I'll be there tomorrow afternoon watching the women Gophers play their last non-conference game before they play and go back in the Big Ten, and the men are playing on Saturday. They got two more non-conference games before they go in the Big Ten. But the Big Ten is a monster,
yep.
And it's gotten – you don't bring four teams in there, and they didn't come in as slouches. They didn't come in as basement drills. They came in as top teams. So it's going to make the Gophers four more teams that got to leap over to get to where they want to go to.
Yep. So I'm with you. Hey, Charles, man, always a pleasure to chat. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, man, and we'll talk to you in the next couple of weeks.
Same to you. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Charles Holman from the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Time for another Word on the Street, and we'll do that next. All right, it's time for Word on the Street. Yeah, Lindsay likes this music. You like this?
I'm vibing. Am I in the club right now?
This isn't your first time hearing this, is it?
It is. It's my first time leading the hot goss segment that is the Lake Night. Yeah. I've only been here on like Mondays, Fridays, Wednesdays,
okay.
Never a Tuesday, Thursday, but.
She's never heard the bumper music.
Here I am, going down the street in my skeleton suit. I got shoes that I can always run in because safety first, and absolutely no makeup. That's how I roll. Hot off the presses is a pretty big interview today. I don't know if you're familiar with the Call Her Daddy podcast. I think it's on Spotify.
Well, I'm familiar with it just from everything that leading up to the election. And
yep.
she had Kamala Harris on.
Yep.
But I don't sit down and listen to a bunch of podcasts.
Yeah, it used to be part of my life. Not Call Her Daddy podcast used to be, but she's not exactly my cup of tea. But she did have a great interview with Kamala, and she did have an interview with Trinity Rodman, the U.S. women's national team soccer star and also star for the Washington Spirit, as she talked about her relationship with her father, Dennis Rodman, as it remains strained and that he is largely absent from her life. Trinity said, "He's not my dad, maybe by blood, but nothing else." As I mentioned, she plays for the Washington Spirit in the National Women's Soccer League, and she recalled on her father showing up unannounced at a Spirit playoff game in 2021. She hadn't spoken to him in months and was emotional during the game, and then was photographed crying in his arms afterwards. "The whistle blew, and I was so mad. Like, you took this happy moment for me. You effed with my head again." Seems like there's a very strained relationship between Trinity and her father, Dennis, that still continues. I know that Dennis recently, I think as earlier this afternoon, he released a statement talking to her through the media, saying like he's calling, he's trying to make connections. But, you know, sometimes hard things die hard, too.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that she did call the house. She saw it with regards to him just kind of stealing her moment, like, and stole her joy, essentially.
Correct.
You know, and that's heartbreaking. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that was his intent, because I think his intent probably was to show up, kind of be seen because he's a famous dad, right?
That's how I can support my daughter in his head, probably.
What he probably thought, like I can get some shine. This is my daughter. Mm-hmm. This will be a nice photo op for me and my daughter. And she's looking at it like, I don't need a photo op. I need you to be my dad. Right. And you're not my dad.
It's not about you, Dennis.
Yeah, exactly.
Many of those conversations happening between daughters and fathers across America, not just the soccer players. But speaking of knee injuries, Lindsey Vonn can do whatever the damn well she pleases. That's the headline I gave this hot goss for today. This comes from AP News and Andrew Damphy. As you know, Lindsey Vonn is a very decorated downhill alpine skier.
Yep.
Minnesota native will claim it. Even though she spent a ton of time in Colorado, she's from here. She has a new titanium knee, and she's 40 years old. And after a long, calculated process involving several minor and major knee surgeries, she has decided to step back into a World Cup starting gate this weekend for the first time in 6 years for a Super G race in St. Moritz, wherever that is. But she's pretty pissed off with how her fellow skiing champions are questioning why she would return to the sport's most dangerous discipline, and this is from the article, at such an advanced age. Andrew, the call's coming from inside the house, but also Vonn has been taking inspiration from Simone Biles. No woman is older than 34 has won a World Cup race, but Lindsey talked about Simone and said, "I'm not the first person to do it. Maybe I'm just the first person to do it." In ski racing, Simone Biles is a perfect example of what can be done at older age. And she's not even that old. Simone Biles was 27 when she competed at the Paris Olympics earlier this summer. And so, again, Nobody asked for your opinion, skiers. If she blows out her knee, that's her total right to go and do so and test it, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Go off, Linz.
It is interesting, though, with the whole, like, I want to get somebody on to talk about that, because I think that story in itself is super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we hear about knee replacements, when we hear about hip replacements, stuff like that, those are older people.
Yep.
Let's just be real. Now we're talking about somebody's going to do this that's a professional. I'm super intrigued how that plays out.
Well, those knees aren't 40 years old. They're in much different shape, but everybody is looking to push the limits to see what's truly possible with the technology that we have. And so there's also a historical context where we have told women that their prime is done at 18, right? That was gymnastics years. If you're 18, you were basically off the team. You had teenage girls who basically never got their periods.
But different sports are different.
They are. But there is this pervasive thing in your mid-20s that you're washed up. But we're challenging that now with NWSL, with the PWHL, with the WNBA that's been around for a minute. But certainly something to keep an eye on, as you mentioned, Henry, in terms of innovation. Innovative. That's what would come out of my mouth if I was walking down the strip into this music. Lastly, I have Chris Martin from Coldplay says they deserve to take some S from critics. I think a little white guilt is a good thing, just to make sure that you know how your actions have impacted others or maybe your ancestors. But the 47-year-old frontman spoke to Rolling Stone earlier this week about the British band's reputation. Despite being one of the biggest bands in the world, Coldplay has often been considered a deeply uncool band to follow for their penchant for sentimentality and peace and love approach. Martin acknowledged that Coldplay has accrued some haters. Them in Linkin Park, or not Linkin Park, Nickelback. How dare Nickelback, I confuse those two? My God. Sorry, Chester. Quote, it would be terrible if we lived in a society where everyone had the same thing. We are a very, very safe, easy target. We're not going to bite back. We are four white, middle-class men from England. We deserve to take some S for what our people have done. There's a reason we get to play all around the world, and part of it is not necessarily very healthy. And I appreciate Chris Martin calling himself exactly what he is, which is somebody who's very successful due to prior accomplishments, I guess. It depends on who you ask. Accomplishments, exploitations, whatever. I like that.
On a side note, I kind of felt bad for him in a story that I saw. So he was married to Gwyneth Paltrow, right?
And then they consciously uncoupled, yes.
Yes, and they have a daughter.
They have a daughter and a son. They're named Apple and Moses.
Yeah, and so and Apple is like an attractive model, up-and-coming model.
She's an up-and-coming model, yep.
That, like, she got some criticism or something like that. Like
she did.
The last few days or something occurred. But I guess my point is, the point of me bringing this up is, in the article that where it came up, they mentioned her as Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter. They didn't mention him. I was like, man, why y'all sliding it?
Well,
why y'all sliding him?
I just wonder how much DNA was shared when they had Apple, because she looks exactly like Gwyneth, but she has been she has been alleged a mean girl. There are rumors that she is not very nice to debutante society
At some event. Yeah,
right.
But people are saying no, that's not necessarily that way. It was just people took it the wrong way. So
sure.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? But I appreciate the honesty, Chris Martin. I really do. That's all I got.
All right. That is going to wrap it up for Word on the Street. Coming up next, whether there is an issue or not between Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan comes across as a bad look. I'll explain why. Coming up next here on the Lake Show. All right. I'll get to Governor Walz here in a second, but really quickly. We got to talk about this for a second. They just showed on TNT in the commercial break the cat video. So the Wolves and Knicks are going to tip here in just a matter of moments. And leading up, they just showed the Welcome Back Cat video. They showed, like, and it starts from, like, the moment that he gets ushered into being a member of this franchise up until, and it just went through the significant moments in his career. They had an ISO cam on Carl Anthony Towns. I think that Lindsay would agree with me in that you could tell and see the emotion on his face as he's sitting there, number one. And then number two, what I expected to happen is what happened. It was a standing ovation. There was not a person. And we didn't have the audio on because we're
working.
It's a radio station. We can't have the audio on at the same time. So I can't sit here and tell you there were no boos. But as they showed the aerial shots of the arena, people were up on their feet, clapping and welcoming him back. And he seemed really, really happy to be back here in Minnesota.
Carl's always worn his emotions on his sleeve. And you could tell, like, it's one of those things that I think he's probably so grateful for, but it's also very uncomfortable to go through on such a public forum and stage, right? To be reminded of that. And you know that it's coming. And he knows what he means to this community and what he did for that organization. But then the camera's on. You got to see how it is. And you're trying not to cry because you got to play in 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
And you've been thinking about it all day, and your family's there, and dad's back in his normal seats, right? And Jordan came up too, because why not make the trip? And so it's a big moment for him. And I'm glad that from our vantage point that
it's
going to
be an emotional night.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing. And I want to mention this before we transition to other topics. And maybe we'll just get to the Governor Walz, Peggy Flanagan thing here in the next couple minutes, or maybe in the final segment. The reason why it's an emotional night, but it's not just an emotional night for him. There's got to be emotions, too, for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. Like,
yeah,
in a different way, they're probably looking at this like, you know what? Y'all sent us packing. So you know what? we're going to show you something. So it's not just a one-sided deal. Like, when they tip it here, there's going to be something that those guys are going to say as well with regards to how things play out on their side of it. Because now, remember, I don't know if you saw this, Lindy, but did you see in the preseason the war of words with Dante DiVincenzo and
Mr. Brunson?
No. It was Tibbs.
Oh, it was Tibbs.
Yeah, it was.
That's
yeah,
right,
yeah,
they were
yeah.
Barking.
Brunson just happened to be in the middle of it trying
sure.
to like. And then I think Brunson caught some words maybe a little bit later, but it was more so about Coach.
Right.
So.
It would suck to have a magazine cover come out with you and your Nova boys about how you guys are going to take the city and maybe take the team to the promised land and probably lose in the finals just like they always do.
Look at this.
And then like a week and a half later, you're in Minnesota.
Yep. Well, look at this. I mean,
you know,
look, all the acknowledgments. And look at the look on Julius Randle. So Julius Randle's like, man, let's get to it. He's more like, let's.
He's going off for 30 more. Plus tonight, right? I'd bet big on, if I were a betting woman, which I'm not.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Julius Randle's game. Just get the dub, man. I don't give a damn about your points.
I want Carl to want to get 60 points again and just tank the team in an effort to do that. That was the one kind of last year. Do you remember that?
He had the massive night and then they ended up losing.
They ended up losing and Finch called him out in the postgame, as he should. Those are the little moments. That's where Carl means well, and that's what matters to me in this world, but sometimes there's the head-scratching moments, but some other people have way more offensive head-scratching moments. Oh, boy!
I think that's Julius Randle!
Julius, you're orange tonight! Get that to red, my dude! Let's go!
Julius Randle's he got something to prove?
Let's go! You gotta think he's just chomping all day. Talking, because his kid's like elementary school age, right? You think he's been talking about it with his kid, chomping him up?
Well, look who the matchup is to start. It's Julius Randle on Cat.
Love it.
Interesting. Now, let me say this real quick. I know people aren't. Oh, look at Randle.
Oh!
you called it.
I'm not a gambling woman, but maybe you should listen to me.
You called it. Hey, no. Women have some of the best takes. Mina
I just
Kimes,
go off of vibes.
Jesse Pierce on the show tomorrow night. So
huge fan of hers.
That's going to be one hell of a game, I think. Let me say this real quick. And the people listening, they can't see this because they're listening to us, unless they're watching TV too. I love this court.
Oh, the new paint job?
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
It's pretty cool. I certainly like it better than the
last
couple
iterations. Julius, pass the ball, bro.
Let's go.
Pass the ball.
Oh, hit it. Basketball gods are raining down. Let's go. We love it. What a stat line. Triple dub. Do I call it right now? Triple dub?
Are you calling it?
No, I don't know if I should.
No, I mean, call it.
I'm scared because I hate being wrong, but I guess it doesn't matter.
That's sports radio 101. You can't be scared to be wrong.
I know. That's why I'm in news now. Oh, let's go. Wolves are cooking early.
Jaden McDaniels? What is going
on? Is that Rudy Gobert taking up space?
No, that was Jaden.
Oh, I love Jaden. That guy runs like a goat. He got some springs. you don't expect goats to have springs, but they jump. They jump.
I was about to say that's
Rudy Gobert, defensive player of the year.
I know. Listen, audience is getting sick of us with the play-by-play.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, all right, we'll break. We'll come back. Let me talk about the Governor Walz Flanagan kerfuffle. Is it? We'll see next here on the Lake Show. All right, let me touch on this Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and Governor Tim Walz controversy. I'm not going to even call it a controversy, but there's reports that there's a rift between the two, that there's tension between the two after, you know, he failed to, you know, he's part of the presidential bid to be the new vice president. I don't know if that's a real thing. I've read the quote. I've listened to the audio. You should go back and listen to the WCCO Morning News with Vanita Sakar. He was on with Vanita earlier this morning. Check out the entire podcast page there. So I don't know how true this is. He denies it and says, no, look, we, Lieutenant Governor and I, have worked together for many years. We're transitioning back after a national campaign, and we're just taking a look at, again, how do we approach this job to cover more ground? How do you make sure that it is the lieutenant governor's doing an event in Bloomington? It might make sense for me to be in Duluth. All right, so whatever is real and whatever's fake, this is how I view it. It comes across as a bad look. And this is the reason why it comes across as a bad look. Not just because it's Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. It's because here in Minneapolis, you've already got the, on one side, it's Mayor Jacob Frey. On the other side, he's got issues with the city council. So it just becomes contentious all the time. And you don't need all this tension. And so that's the reason why it kind of comes across as just awkward and a bad look, is that you've got here in the city of Minneapolis issues. You don't want the governor to have any tension with the lieutenant governor. So, but I'm not going to crown it and say that this is fact or say that it's fiction. All I'm saying is that it comes across as awkward at this particular point.
Is it just awkward because we already said bye and we've met up in the parking lot after and we've already said what we needed to say?
No. That doesn't make it awkward to me.
Because, like, now that he's back, because I think a lot of people didn't expect him to be back in the office. It was kind of a natural progression plan or ascension plan for Lieutenant Governor.
But that happens anytime anybody runs for office like that.
True.
What makes it awkward to me is the fact that we have the other dynamic of the Frey stuff here.
Gosh, yeah.
That's what makes it so weird.
The bubbling layers of local politics.
Yes,
and then you have the House,
yes,
which is split down the middle as well. Gosh, the tension.
That's the part that's like, oh, gosh. You don't want the optics of it. Mm-hmm. Like, can you get anything together? Are you guys going to figure this thing out? So I'm not going to buy into it yet until I get an opportunity to talk to people that are close to them. Because I got people. To kind of see what's what.
Right.
So we'll see.
We might just make things up. We might be just reading the tea leaves a little bit darker than we usually
maybe
do.
Maybe we're reading too much into this.
Yeah.
Or maybe there are people that aren't necessarily in their camps that are propping something up and trying to plant the seed that, oh, there's problems.
There's that.
You know? So you never know.
Politics. Oh, my goodness. A deep three from the elbow. That wasn't Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, though. Do you think one of them is there? This is kind of a big deal. This is a Target Center is a place to be tonight.
I don't know. I bet Angie Craig is there, though.
Yeah?
I think she's a big basketball fan.
Is she?
Oh, yeah. She's been on the show before. I think the last time she was on the show was during the Lynx-Liberty final.
The final. It's like semifinals. Like, no, that's the Aces that lost.
Jay McGann was playing well tonight, though, too.
I love to see it.
I know.
He's got to keep blooming, right? They gotta find more of a presence for him, I would think. But you can't take too much away from Ant. You got to make sure Julius is still rolling. Oh!
What?
Try to take a charge there. What is the call?
Hey, I'm going to let me say this real quick. I almost forgot where I was.
Good thing we have a dump button?
For a second. No, I caught myself. For a second, I thought I was on the couch because I said, what the?
You're a true professional.
you didn't hear me.
No, I'm just listening to myself talk like usual. Got nothing really to say. Oh, Nas, I love it. They give him the charge?
I was about to say, what the? Nas, are you doing? That's a charge. Like, dude.
He
got him in the head.
Yeah, he caught him in the chin a little bit there.
Nas Reed just gave an elbow to the face of Jalen Brunson. Oof.
Let him know I'm here.
Is that a flagrant?
Come on. In this economy?
Nah, that hurt.
My God. They have like a drawn blood rule like they do in the NHL.
Look at this.
I'm looking. Ooh. See, but it. Do you just keep that elbow in a little bit tighter? Because like at some point you're going up to the rim and then your face meets my arm.
I'm not saying it's intentional. I'm just saying like that hurt.
Got it.
Oof.
That's why I played goalie. People would get penalized for touching me. I'd chop them in the back of the leg. Get out of my crease.
All right, so when you leave here, you're watching this, right?
Yes, for sure. Going to watch the basketball.
Oh, I didn't know.
I don't have cable, so I probably won't.
This.
Yeah, I ain't watching this. I'm not paying for cable.
I could not live without cable.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking a sabbatical from sports this year. It's been really nice because I've just been engrossed the last four or five. It's been nice to interact with it in the way that I did before I got into the sports radio business, which is at my leisure. But this team starts cooking. I see Julius keep sinking threes. Just imagine what that N2K view they're going to put
on. You're streaming something.
Yeah, I've been getting into Peaky Blinders. I never finished it.
No. Finish shows. You're streaming some sort of sport, though.
Tonight?
No, I'm talking about just in general. You're streaming sports. You're not going without sports this year.
No, literally, I've watched like one quarter of football.
As a hockey gal, you're not watching the Wild? You're not watching the Frost?
I watched the Frost game. I watched their first game of the season. Hockey doesn't pay my bills, Henry. At least not talking about hockey. Didn't really pay my bills when I was trying to make it pay my bills. And so, trying on news. I'm having a great time because we can talk sports, but I don't have to. What's wrong with the power play on the opposite end?
Yeah, I'll leave that to Jesse Pierce.
Yeah, that's right. Jesse's got it. We have a ton of unbelievable talent in this market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, go off. I got more interests.
Heather Rule.
Yep. Huge fan of hers. Huge fan of hers.
Jesse Pierce. We got some.
Yep.
We got some folks here, man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask you what the out was.
Oh, it's supposed to be in 30 seconds. So I'm supposed to.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. So we just
we're
let it ride out.
No, yeah.
We're doing it. We're doing it just fine.
It's production value.
All right. We're out. Lindsay, I will talk to you later.
Yeah,
I think
tomorrow's
my first show with Ryan Perpich. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night, 6 p.m. right here on The Good Neighbor.